good to be here. It's good to be back. While my wife is out, I'll just say this real quick. 13 years ago, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and they took care of that one. And 13 years from the day, she's having surgery October 2nd on the other one. So, and then treatment afterwards. And the same God that got us through the first one for 13 years will get us through this one for however more he has. So that's all there is to it. And you can pray for us. We only have one prayer, and I'm going to talk about it this morning. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I have two things that are on my heart. When I was here the last time, I think it was October of last year, I was facing back surgery, which I had, 5-level from L1 to L5, and had scoliosis of all things, but it wasn't forward and back, it was sideways, and spent 5 days in Duke Spinal, was referred there by the veterans. And now I'm doing rehab 8 months later because their paperwork got messed up. But as you can see, no walker, no support, no turtle shell. And I thank the Lord for it. But during that time period, I spent looking through the book of Ephesians. And I also have, as you are studying Acts, I started studying Acts 2. Because I want to read the book on the doctrine of the church, and then I want to go through the history of it worked out in the book of Acts, because it's a transition book. I hope you're studying it that way. You can't just jump into chapter 1 and say, well, this is for the church, and this is... They were transitioning chapter 1 from the law to the church epistles of Paul at the end, so there's a lot of law-ish parts to it, and that clears it up. But anyway, I want to talk to you. Well, let's just read one verse, because we finish at 10:30, right? Okay. And I want to ask this question: what is the purpose of the local church? What is the purpose? Before I had my surgery, I met for lunch with a fellow that's in fellowship at our assembly in Danville, and he said, "Well, how come assemblies aren't growing? How come the assemblies aren't?" And I got me to think, what is the purpose of the local church? Why did God ordain in our time period that we live in, the age of grace, why did he ordain a body locally and universally, collectively, with our head in heaven? What is the purpose? To do away with social ill, to do away with poverty, to do away... What is the purpose? And how do you measure spiritual things? Right? If we say the church isn't growing, well, what we use a yardstick? You know, my grandkids used to come in when they were that big and stand up against our door jamb the date. And now one's in college at Virginia Tech and the other one's in 11th grade at a high school, and they don't come by anymore. My grandson, who's in 11th grade, doesn't fit in the door jamb anymore. He's too tall. But when we replaced that door, I had to rip that piece of wood out and put it on the inside of the new one so Grandma could have it, because it's nostalgic. But how do you measure a local church? How do you measure an individual spiritual growth? How, not that you're here to measure mine, but how do you measure your own spiritual growth? We want to grow, don't we? We want to pursue into the mature person that God has for us spiritually. So, I do love this light for one reason. I've had my eyes operated on last year too, and I bring these glasses just in case I'm in one of the old... Like our chapel has only indirect lighting, so you have to use your flashlight or glasses to magnify them. So I'm glad I have light. But let's read, if you would please, the very last verse of chapter 3. Unto him, that is God the Father, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we come to handle your word. Open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts. Teach us what we don't know. Correct that which is wrong. And Father, most of all, help us to progress into the image of Christ. Father, we thank you for your wisdom and your plan. And we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friday, Betty and I were at the doctor's getting the results. Was it Friday or Thursday? Thursday. One of the great things about being 74 is every day's a new year. Right? It's so great we hide our own Easter eggs. I mean, you know, I can hide my Easter eggs and then look for them tomorrow, and it's like, look, I found one. Anyway, we were in the doctor's office to get the results of her biopsy, and we got it, and we were then determined what we're going to do as far as surgery, and then followed by what kind of treatment, and then we had to go into another room and get scheduled to get it done as soon as we possibly could. And when we went into that room and we started in that room and sat down, we had a nurse named Nancy, easy to remember because my deceased sister's name was Nancy. And we started talking, and of course, being a grandparent, I had to talk about my granddaughter, my grandson. Oh, and my daughter's a nurse, and so I have my own nurse, and she's a pharmacy tech license too. So we have all and Nancy looked at us and she said, "Well, you certainly have a good support system to get you through this." And without a blurb, I just went, "Yeah, but the Lord's one that gets us through. He's gotten us this far." And she went, "Whoo, I got goosebumps right now. Let me shut the door so we can talk." And she shut the door. And she said, if you keep talking, church is going to break out." And we laugh at that, but I find that terrible. Or as Charles Barkley would say, terrible. It's terrible. To me, in Danville, Virginia, the city of churches, we don't even know what a church is biblically. Now, I'm going to give you this 15-minute exhortation because we just had the Lord's Supper, and most of us here are believers. If we do not have a goal, we will only be like a broken clock right twice a day. We have to know the purpose of the church. And in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul does so clearly state for us what the church is, what is the church's purpose, what are we to do. And three times in chapter 4, it tells us the measure of how to measure a spiritual person, the church, whatever. He tells us in that chapter. Is it amazing that God puts all the answers in his book? When he has a plan like the church, he's going to tell us what's expected. We don't have to guess. Notice the verse that we read. It says this: "Unto him, God the Father, be glory." Not by means of the church. Because then we would be running around with all this activity, doing all things, because I have to do it. No. It says, if I'm reading my Bible right, by Christ Jesus. It's his Son that's going to bring glory to the Father. But he does so in the church. Do you get it? No, you're looking at me like deer in a headlight. We are just the vessels by which the risen Christ, is that not the book of Acts? The things which he began to do? Now he's continued to doing it, but he doesn't have a body like that. He has a different body, that is the local church. Our purpose in life as a Christian and collectively is to glorify the Father by allowing Jesus Christ to do that in us and through us. So when I talk to somebody, our little assembly's got some problems right now. You know, we hived off a couple years ago, and the new one started on the North Carolina side of the border down below us in Caswell County, and that's a wonderful thing. But the young married couples went and left all us old geezers up in ours, and you know that means. That means just in the last month we have one woman that has been there for a long time. She found out she has metastatic lung cancer, and she's being treated until she, well, she's in hospice being treated. Then we found out that one of our deacons, one of our men that's been there since the day we opened the doors in 1986, he had a pain in his chest. He found out he's got stage 4 lung cancer, and it spread into his esophagus, and so he started with his chemotherapy, and then my wife with hers, and mine with mine, and yours with yours. Everybody there seems to be, we were sitting there, a dozen of us, before the meeting, and I said, do you realize that everybody sitting here right now has got a health issue? It's amazing. So, one of the men was taken aback by his diagnosis, and I had to call him because he wasn't coming out to the meeting, and I said, are you all right? And he said, yeah, I just don't feel like coming out. I said, why? You're physically down? No, I said, hold it. Right now is when you need to be in the local church, and right now is when you need fellowship, and right now is when you need to be hearing people praying for you, and you need the ministry of the Word of God. But more importantly, we have to function still bringing glory to God. And so I ask people to pray for me and my wife, not that we not be sick and die, because we're going to. I pray that we would be adequate in glorifying God no matter what it takes. So during my back surgery, it's like, Lord, how can I glorify you by here? I'm laying here. And I was there 5 days, and I'll share this with you because it's how God taught me to glorify him. Then I'm going to show you in just the flow of this book how God's put down everything for us to know. I'm going to go through it real quick. You're going to have to order a copy of this and write your name and phone number on the back of a $20 bill and give it to my wife, and we'll get a copy. Doug's just going, yeah. So I'm in Duke Spinal Hospital. They do the surgery, 5 levels on this side. Someone, Freddie's already pointed out, I gained a little weight here. It's never going to go down. They went into the side, they went around the front and expanded me, went into the front of the vertebrae, took the broken L1 to L5 discs out, put titanium spacers in, turned me over, cut me down the back, and put 5 in the back. Yeah, that's how I went to camp. And I'm not telling that to get sympathy. And past that, I'm standing. I'm a miracle. But I was on my bed, and I couldn't walk by myself. I couldn't exist for myself for 5 days without a 24-hour nurse. 12 hours one, 12 hours another. 12 hours one, the room was the window right dedicated to the nurse, the head nurse, and then the other nurses would come in. And the second night at midnight, the night shift came in, I'd have to get a pill every 2 hours. They do that just to make you glad to go home. And I heard this voice, and the voice said, Mr. Brower, I need to get you up and get you to the bathroom and take you back and give you a pill. And I said, thank you. And it's dark, and the night light in the bathroom's on. And it sounded like a woman, but when I looked up, I couldn't tell. It was a young black person, very, very beautiful, and hair glistening and jewelry, and I mean, got me up and walked me into the bathroom and said, now I'm gonna shut the door and I'll come get you. And they come back and they grabbed me and they walked me back and put me in bed, and we talked for a while and they left. And the next morning the head nurse came in, and I said to her, the person that I had last night for a nurse in the night shift? She said, yes. Man or a woman? how do I address that person? Because even though I don't agree with things, I'm not going to be rude in how I talk to people. Because I have to glorify my Father. Get the message that I'm learning? I'm sharing with you what I learned in this experience. Why? Did you think that person was bad? Did the nurse... I said, no. One of the best I've ever had. I said, I just want to know how to address that person. Well, I asked the same thing 6 months ago when he came to work with us. And he said, I'm 100% man. I was just raised alone by a woman. And I'm a man. I'm 100% man. She said, his name's Elijah. I said, okay. Well, I was thinking, I need to talk to Elijah. That's why God put me in there. But I want to be honest with you. I don't want to say this to disparage anybody. But I'm a man's man, okay? I was in playing football in the 7th grade all the way till I got to college. I was pole vaulting from 7th grade all the way to college. I was in the Marine Corps. I went to Vietnam. I'm a man's man. That's why I struggled for a while to accepting the Lord, because I wanted to drink and be with my men. And one of the things that always has bothered me is effeminate. Sorry, I'm just being honest. And I said, Lord, you want me to speak to him? And I said to the woman, I said, what's his name? Elijah. I said, okay. And I realized in 2 days he's coming back, and that's going to be the night before I leave. So that day, all I could think about was, how am I going to talk to Elijah, Lord? How am I going to talk to Elijah, Lord? That night I went to bed about 10, and I woke up and I heard, Mr. Jonathan. I'm using up all my time on this. This is terrible. I never intended this, but bear with me. And I said, yes, Elijah. Oh, and he said, I got to take you. I said, yeah, and we went back and laid me back down, and it's dark, and he was standing here, and I could see the light shining on him. And I said, Elijah, can I talk to you for a minute? He said, yes, sir. I said, they know when you're in there, you're a preacher. They put it right on your records. Occupation. They ask you, what's your occupation? Just say, occupied with Jesus. That gets it. So I said, you probably get a lot of criticism and jokes and made fun of in high school, didn't you? He said, yes, sir. I said, you probably heard that us Christians are homophobic and we don't like you. Yes, sir. I said, I want to tell you something. Read the Bible for itself. Don't listen to the TV. Don't listen to the radio. Read what God says to you. For God, and I said, God sent his Son into the world not to condemn you, but that the world through him might live. I said, Elijah, he loves you. He sent his Son to die for you on the cross. He loves you that much. And I look up and tears are running down his face, glistening in the light. And I said, do you know what your name means? And he said, no. And I said, El is the short for Elohim, the powerful God. In the beginning, God created. Oh, he said. And I said, Jah is short for Jehovah. Your name means my powerful God keeps his promise. And he said, thank you, sir. I'll do that. And he walked out of the room, and that's the last I saw of him. And I said, thank you, Lord. I hope I glorified you. You know why? We're not here to be comfortable. We're not here to be made whole. We're not here to do all the things we ask God to do in our prayer. We're here to be adequate, to glorify, allow Jesus to do what he wants to do through us and in us, no matter what our condition is. And can we glorify him by losing our job? Yes. Can we glorify him by losing our health? Yes. Can we glorify him in hospice? Yes. Can we glorify him having stroke and paralyzed? Yes. My mother did it for 12 months. We can glorify him. Well, here's how. Are you ready? I got 1 minute left. We're going to do the book of Ephesians. You ready? No, not me. Okay. Now watch. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4, through verse 6, the Father's part of the plan, to the praise of His glory. Why did God the Father plan it? To His glory. Verse 7 through verse 12a, why did the Son come and die on the cross? To the praise of His glory. He did it to be glorifying. Why does the Spirit, verses 13 and 14, seal the person for God's glory? Are you getting it? 13 times now He's going to say, the church is to glory. Father's planned it to glorify. The Son died so that it would be glorified. And then the Spirit seals you so you can glorify Him. You get it? We've lost that. I'm just admitting to you, the church has lost this. We're praying for things that God has already promised to give us. And we're not thinking, what am I supposed to be doing? We're to glorify. We're to glorify to the praise of His glory and His grace. Verse 17 of chapter 1, the Father of glory. Verse 18, the riches of glory. You just go right through. It's glory, 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 glory. And then He gets into chapter 3, and He says in chapter 3, verse 16, the riches of His glory to be strengthened, verse 17, in order that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, verse 19, and know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God, and that will glorify the Father. Do you get it? So it's all about glorify, glorify. But how? Here's the secret. Oh, 1 minute. We'll have to close. Are you ready? Chapter 2, verse 10. I'm just going to give you and show you where it goes, and you can look at it again in greater detail. Chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship. Oh, Glenn talked about doing something with the good works which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. You have been saved for a new walk that God has purposed before you got saved, that when you get saved, you walk in Him. It's not for you young people to find out, well, is it God's purpose for me to be married? Is it His purpose to go to college? No, no. Peripateo, it's a everyday walking around. We're to walk a different way, okay? Well, how do we do it? The word worthy means to balance the scale, to balance the plank. On one side is all that Christ did to the glory of God, and here is your life. Are you living so that you are balancing out the glory that God has called you to? Only you can answer that. Are you glorifying? Is Jesus glorifying His Father through you? That's the worthy walk. And He gives you how in this portion, till the end of verse 16. And then in verse 17, He says, walk not as others Gentiles walk in the emptiness of their mind. So now He says you walk worthy. Then He says don't walk as Gentiles. Their minds are big blanks. Not grieving the Spirit in verse 30. Chapter 5, verse 2. Walk in love as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. So you're to walk in love. Well, I show my love. Yeah? To the extreme that Jesus did? How do you walk in love to glorify the Father? By dying for others. And you men say to your wife, well, I can't give up Saturday because it's my day to fish, to walk, to hunt, to play golf, to play pickleball, right? And God's up there going, you don't love your wife. Jesus gave up a throne. Verse 8, chapter 5. Walk as children of the light. How do you do that? Read afterwards. It talks about you walk circumspectly. That's the fifth one. That's down in the Spirit. And when you do, it affects husbands to their wives and wives to their husbands and servants to their masters and children to their parents and parents to their children. And it all works out. And then He says, oh, and you better put on the whole armor of God, because when you live glorifying God, there's one person in this universe that doesn't like it, and he will come around. And so you better stand against the wiles of the... And then was the last thing He says? Pray. Oh, beloved, that we would get a hold of that and realize how important the praying is. Let me just say this. Are you walking worthy? Are you walking not as other Gentiles as you. How different should a Christian be? Incredibly different. We're to be loving, caring. We're not to be, we are to be vessels for Jesus to reveal glory to the Father. And that's what the rest of chapter 4, 5, and 6 does. It tells us how to. So you can go home and make it a checklist and see how well you're doing. Now, we're not going to talk about this in the next one. The next one, we're going to be looking at something more personal and more, I think, very practical for the day and age we live in, where everybody has an excuse for everything they do and blame everybody, but not take personal responsibility for their life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the provision you've made in the body of Christ. My, how we need each other. You've given gifts that we have that everybody else needs in the body. And we have a head in heaven. We are now not worthless, dead corpses, as it says in chapter 2, walking according to the course of this world, according to the God of this age, and the sin and strong desires that are in us. But we are one new man with one new head, a holy habitation unto God, a temple for the living God. Help us to be adequate. Help us to reveal the glory of God to a lost world. Help our words, our thoughts, our actions be glorifying to the Father by Jesus Christ. Amen.